Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day. I'm wearing my Canada sweater. Well, tank top.
I'm not wearing anything Canada. I kind of feel... I know. I have it here. I have a toonie on my desk. There you go, people. Toonies.
That's you're just showing off all of your wealth. That's not actually very Canadian of you.
That's like three Tim Hortons extra large coffees with two cream. I mean, let's not get carried away here. That's all I have. I was like, do I have like a $5 bill? Like, no. See,
I'm you are even... such a terrible Canadian.
Well, I'm a poor Canadian. This episode is going to be, if people are wondering if this is going to be more Canadian than normal, this might even be just a wake-up call to those listeners who don't understand we're both Canadian.
Yeah.
Which it shouldn't really affect alert. The show at all. You know, unless, you know, we complain about prices of games up here, but we won't get into that.
There is something we will get into, though, which does have to do with your hard-earned dollars. Our friend Scott Johnson has a Kickstarter project going on right now. Yep. So, Ryan, you have it in as your comments, so I'm not going to totally steal it from you, but I know I totally backed it.
I just put it in there because I think that if it weren't for, like, Scott's podcasting, his comics, his everything, I don't think we would be podcasting right now. He was sort of like the first podcaster, first webcomic, first, like, online kind of experience that I had really latched onto. Before that, it was sort of just like, yeah, the internet, that's a cool place, I could check my email there.
Exactly.
You know, but he works really hard, and we've been asking for this for a very long time, and I backed it, and I won't, you know, I'm glad that they have opened up a pretty popular reward backing, because I missed it initially. I was sort of incommunicado for the last couple days, so I missed like the beginning. And they had this really cool level that totally sold out, and I'm glad that they
I know, put it I back wanted in. That same one too.
Oh, they put it back in, so they put more wait, of what? That level.
I gotta go.
yeah. Go up. We'll wait here. Go up your level, because that is a solid Kickstarter, and working through David Michael and all the other people behind the scenes that Scott uses, he puts on a really good Kickstarter / crowdfunding effort. I never feel bad going the extra effort or going the extra mile when donating to these things that he manages, because it's just done so well. But yeah, no, it's been really good. I'm really excited. I assume Jocelyn, she's not interrupting because she is actually upping her
pledge.
I am
actually doing it right now. I am changing my pledge.
Perfect. Live. On the air. Yes,
right now. Confirmed.
Someone tweet done. Scott Johnson and let him know. It's happening. Help, help. It's happening. The cover looks really good. And people, I was just listening in the morning stream, another show that I adore. And it was the Tuesday episode just after they launched it. And he was, Justin Robert Young was making fun of him about his Kickstarter video. I loved his Kickstarter video. And they're just poking fun at him. But it was hilarious. So if you haven't been listening to the morning stream, definitely catch up, because they had a good bit on there about his Kickstarter video.
People honestly, that Kickstarter video, when I first watched it, it made me cry. Like, I was just like, oh my God, Scott.
Yeah.
I actually literally cried when I watched that, because, I mean, like, you mentioned before that we wouldn't be where we were if it wasn't for him, and it is, like, the understatement of the century, because, honestly, like, he's been such a huge influence to both of us. Mm-hmm. And that's how, I don't know if everyone knows the story. I guess you do if you've watched one of our patron hangouts. But Ryan and I actually met in the chat room of one of Scott's shows. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not only are we both podcasters because of him, but we created Gamers Inn because of him. I mean, everything I do on Angry Chicken is because of him and his influence and his support. So, I mean, he's just such a fantastic man. And everyone, just go back his Kickstarter.
Yeah, I didn't mean for this to turn into like the Kickstarter hour, but I do want.
We're not going to talk about this for an hour.
No, we're not. But I do. I am glad it has, because I really think that that it's worth everybody's attention, and the stretch goals that he's got set up. We're almost at the first one. I didn't know what a book deck was, or whatever he's called it. What is it? It's called a a signed book plate. I had no idea what that is, but now I know. So Scott Johnson continues to teach me things through all kinds of fun stuff.
I hate the freaking autoplay on Kickstarter.
Yeah, when did they add that in?
2 seconds of Scott's video twice now.
Yeah, while we're being negative, let's focus on that. Like, autoplayed videos. What up with that?
Who does that?
I know, but yeah, no, it's his work has, like you mentioned, Name Your Chicken. For me, it's the same boat. Like, it's just this rolling start with Gamers In, and then from that was born Zombies Ate My Podcast, and then through the Extra Life community, meeting Paul and doing Sleeping with the Elephant, and being able to do a live Gamers In at Nerdtacular is just so awesome. We mentioned that last week, and that's going to be rad. I can't wait. Yeah. We'll mention that every week until the end of July, which is quickly approaching.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's Wolf in the chat room says, apparently Scott's been drawing since he was 5 years old. Yes, he has, because that's the first 2 seconds of that video.
Oh, I suppose they're hearing it. I've been drawing since I was five. That's what they were making fun of on the morning stream, which, yeah, man, it's so good. Well, 30,000? Did he hit 30,000? Do I need to refresh?
I think he might be just short.
He's close. He'll get there. Yeah,
it's very, very close.
Yeah. Anyways, Scott Johnson's My Extra Life Kickstarter. Check it out.
And be careful of autoplayed videos.
Yeah. You're going to learn that he's been drawing since he was five, and it shows because his work is awesome.
All right. So speaking of playing things, what have you been playing, Ryan?
I'm surprised that I'm here because I have been negatively affecting my life with Batman Arkham Knight. It's latched on to me, and it's hard to let go of that game because, wow, I've been up till like 2 a.m. every night for the last week playing that game, and then not realizing it's 2 a.m. when I finally shut down the computer. I'm really enjoying it.
And good.
I'm not surprised that it's got its hooks in me. It happens every time with the Arkham series. It's just the way that game is made is just so awesome. And it's got the perfect open world system with little things to do. And, you know, if you don't want to go do a mission, you can go and take down a tower. Yes, there are towers in this game. every open world has towers. And it's just that fun loop, that feedback loop that you get from great games that turns a good game into a great game is here and present in Arkham Knight. And I feel bad for those that we talked about it last week that still aren't able to play it on PC.
Mm.
But for us lucky few who decided to pick it up on PS4 or are playing it on a PC that seems to have been tested well enough by Warner Brothers, it's so good. You haven't booted it up yet, though.
I haven't.
Probably want to wait, considering how awesome this game is.
I just got to the point where I had so much else going on. I was obviously playing Ashran after 6.2 to kind of test that out. And then I was pushing in Hearthstone because I kind of, just by playing pretty casually, ended up getting to kind of rank 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I still have, you know, a weekend, and, you know, maybe I'll see how I can do. And then I got kind of busy on the weekend, but still made it up to 5. So yesterday I decided I was going to try to push and see how far I could get. And I ended up getting full stars rank 4. So, you know, not terrible, but not as high as I wanted to be. But it did happen to tell me when I logged in this morning that I was in the top 1% of players. So that made me happy, even though, wow, I didn't hit legend. So I'm going to try this month, probably in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to really, really push and see if I can't get myself back up there. So I'm excited. And as always, like, pushing to legend is tough, but it's something I really, really want to do. So I'm going to keep going. And yeah, I think once I'm done that, one way or another, because I basically, like, I've kind of decided, like, it's quite a grind from rank 5 up to legend. And if I don't hit rank 5 by kind of the first or second weekend of the month, I'm probably not going to hit legend. And so at that point, I'm going to basically stop trying. And then I can do things like play Batman, which I'm really looking forward to.
Batman is so... It's really good. And I was reminded of how City was taking Arkham Asylum and saying, like, hey, let's do a quote-unquote open world. But it was really just two cities split in half, right? Do you remember a lot about City? Because to me, it kind of came flooding back when I started to really appreciate the scope that Knight has.
I do remember City's the last one that I played. I didn't play the one from last year.
Okay.
So you didn't play Origins. I didn't play Origins, yeah.
That one was more like, I think it was more like City in that it was weirdly open world, but not really. But City was very constricted in terms of an open world game, which was fine. But Knight is an open world game. And there are three sections to Gotham. You're playing in Gotham City proper. It's been evacuated. So you're not worried about running over good guys, although people have corrected me in Twitter that you are definitely killing bad guys, even though you try not to. There's some great...
Are you actually trying not to, though, or are you just going for it?
Well, let's get it. There's a, like, you get the Batmobile, and it's my favorite thing in the game. A lot of people aren't really too stoked on the Batmobile, but I think...
Yeah, there's been a couple of comments already in chat room about the Batmobile.
I love it. I don't know. There are a lot of things in this game, and maybe it's just hitting all the right buttons for me, and for others, it's like it's not their Batman, right? It's the Batmobile has a lot of focus. There's some story stuff in there that gets a lot of focus. And this is going to be spoiler-free. We'll probably wait till Jocelyn gets farther along to start spoiling some stuff.
Yeah, and, dude. No spoilers.
Again, when I say I'm not going to spoil anything, I'm not going to spoil anything. Although the Batmobile does turn into a tank pretty early on. Spoilers.
God damn it, Ryan. You can't say the spoiler and then say, oh, spoilers.
It's a joke. No, but you do turn in, it is a tank. And that's the thing that people are sort of upset by. It's like half control issues and half, you know, oh, you're going to do a mission where you got to do X, but hey, you got to use your Batmobile. Your Batmobile is another tool that you have access to. And you use it a lot. Not going to sugarcoat it, but I really like the Batmobile and I really like the combat setup. So you know how in Batman you have your normal combat, your arenas, the guys jump in, they have weird spidey sense, and then you counter them and F them shits up, you know? And they don't wait, they kind of like go fetal position. And then they don't get back up. They're sleeping. Anyways. But the combat, they've kind of introduced a new element to the combat with the Batmobile, and that you're fighting drones around the city, tanks, varying different types of tanks, and flying drones as well. In the open world, you can sort of drive around the open world, but you can also pretty much hold a button and spring yourself out of the Batmobile. It's the most satisfying thing ever. So
that sounds pretty badass.
Yeah, so it's like the traversal, it doesn't confine you to the Batmobile. You can drive around in the Batmobile, and it's a lot of fun. And when you run into people, there's like this weird field around the car that propels people away from the car, but definitely like shocks them. And I think that's what people are like, yeah, you're killing people because you're driving around in the Batmobile, but oh, no, don't worry. There's a suppression field that pushes people away from the Batmobile, so you don't technically run them over. But I feel like you're going to have that Jocelyn problem with story in this one. I know, and I'm just putting it out there now so you don't, you know, two episodes from now it's going to be like, Ryan, I'm having issues with this game because, you know, story. So what happens with the story is that there are points in the game where you got to go save this person because they're being held by, you know, X. And you're like, oh, but I really just kind of want to go kill people at that tower or, you know, take out these militia guys or do the bomb decrypting, you know. Which is what I do, because I'm like, okay. Great, you just stay there, kidnapped. I'm going to go take care of this lesser important stuff because I'm a completionist. So you're going to have an issue there.
See, yeah, like, and my problem is never that side content exists. I love doing that stuff after I've, you know, saved the damsel or gotten the bad guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you've got stuff that feels imminent, like... Yeah. then I want to do it imminently. And if I get there and get my ass kicked because I haven't gone and done all the little side missions, that's where I start to have a problem, where it's like you have to go and decrypt all the little things and, you know, do all the whatevers mm-hmm. before you can go and do the main story because you need the XP. That's where I have yeah. problems.
And the reason I'm sort of prepping you in that light is because the way the game is designed, and you don't really experience this until you've gone and done that story mission where you go save whoever, or I'm just speaking in generals here. So, and again, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, you save somebody, guys.
You save someone as Batman? No.
Yeah, you're Batman no. and you Spoilers. Save people. There are points in the story where you go save that person and then the next step in the story is, oh, we've got to decrypt this thing. So it's going to take time. And then Alfred comes on and he's like, oh, very good. I'm going to do the Batmobile computer while you... Here's an update on all the other shit that's going on in Gotham. You best go look at it because things are happening.
So seeing stuff like
happening.
That is fine because, mm-hmm. you know, like the main story is put on hold. Like you have to wait. You might as well go and do a whole bunch of other stuff while you're mm-hmm. waiting for the main storyline to open up again. And there's an actual legitimate reason for it.
Yeah.
Our computer is running. It's decrypting. There's nothing we can do to make it go faster. So go and save that... you know, a kid on the street doing sure. whatever, you know, like I can't even think of a crime right now. What the hell's wrong with me?
petty theft. Grandma, oh, okay. for some reason, was stuck in Gotham, didn't evacuate, and someone stole her little pet chihuahua.
Ah, there we go. Chihuahua theft. Yep.
Again, I'm just trying to make it so ridiculous so you people don't accuse me of spoiling this fantastic game. So, again, like, you're not going to... I don't think you're going to have as big an issue. This isn't like Mass Effect 3. I think that they've really looked at the issue of open world games and sort of the world state and emergencies in general and kind of allowed you to be like... not punish you if you want to go kill towers while somebody sits in a cell or something, or letting you go and save that person because it is... you know, you're Batman. You've got to save that person. You're not going to make them wait. That's not what Batman
exactly.
does. And I find that the game is really well designed in that sense. So at no point in the game are you worried about that happening. You can kind of just continue doing whatever you need to do and still be able to 100% the game without being locked out of content, I think. I've finished the main quote-unquote quest. And that's all I'll say. Because I think if we go any further, it's going to be harder and harder. But... I really like what they've done with the combat, and I really like what they've done with the Batmobile. I don't think they're going to make another one of these. This is probably our last Batman game from Rocksteady.
Really? You know.
Yeah, and again, that's not a spoiler. I just think they've made Batman, you know? I don't think there's a need to make another one. And there's a season pass. We're going to have 6 months of content probably... for the foreseeable, for the rest of the year, we'll be getting new Batman content. But
even with 6 months worth of content, you mm-hmm. think that they're not going to make another game? Like, clearly, whatever the ending was, they're putting out more content after mm-hmm. that. And you don't think that somehow is going to tie into the next Batman game? I mean, they've made a Batman game, like, it's right up there with Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed. They're like, every freaking year we have a new Batman. And yeah. why would they give that up? Because this is selling so well.
It's... the chat room is sort of echoing my statement in that Rocksteady, this is the Rocksteady's last Batman game.
Well, you know, it's Rocksteady's last exactly. Batman game. That doesn't mean that it's the last Batman game.
Yeah, so in that sense, like, Warner Brothers is going to make another Batman game, maybe not next year, but they are going to I'm sure they're going to hand that engine off to somebody, but... this is Rocksteady's last Batman game, and people have wanted Rocksteady to make a bunch of different games. There's rumors that they were going to make a Ninja Turtles game. There was rumors that they really want to make a Superman game, and yeah, I think that'd be fantastic. But
yeah, I think a Superman game would be really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Ninja Turtles, but that might just be...
Ninja Turtles, it continues to exist as a thing that was awesome in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. And I it seems like every modern interpretation of it, I'm just like, no,
yeah, Ninja
stop.
Turtles is, yeah, Ninja Turtles is great. I love it to death. But anything that's been done since. I'll even give it to you. I'll include Turtles 3. I'll even include the CG TMNT movie. That was pretty good. But anything after that, not so hot. And the cartoons, sure, for kids, I'm sure they're fine. But yeah, I don't know. I really do feel like this is probably going to be, I'll say it this way. I think this is going to be our last great Batman game, because Origins sort of felt like plain. You know, like this is the cracked pepper Triscuit cracker we're getting here with Batman Arkham Knight. And like Origins is like the stale light Triscuit cracker. No one wants to eat that. That's terrible. No one wants that. But yeah, everybody go play Arkham Knight. You can't buy it on PC, though. So maybe buy a PS4. I don't know. That seems to be the definitive edition is the PS4. So yeah, it appears as though Iago is requesting permission to swear in the chat room. So you find folks, that's what's happening right now, and it's really up to him. We're allowed to swear on the show, but he's not allowed to swear in chat. That's just how it works. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about Batman. I think you'll really dig it if you can get through the control issue with the PS4. Hopefully that doesn't cause frustrations for you.
I know I'm sure it'll be fine. I need to play more on the PS4 regardless of what the game is, just so I learn where all the buttons are. And I have to remember that the touchpad is a thing, because I'm sure that's going to come up again.
It's just a big button. Just think of it as a big giant button.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can like swipe it too. It's not just pushing it, right?
Yeah.
Push and swipe.
You can like do stuff with it, but I think most whatever
that, I love that you can't see me and we both just did like the exact same thing.
It's happening. But I always treat it as a big button. I don't really play a lot of PS4 games. I kind of wish I had gotten this on the PS4. I am thoroughly enjoying it on PC, but I feel like this would have been a great game to sink into, because literally like it's been having, I'm not afraid, I'm kind of a little ashamed, it's taken over my life. Like there have been things that I've had to, you know, other not responsibilities, but things I wanted to do, like YouTube content and stuff like that I've pushed off because I wanted to play Arkham Knight, and I've been playing a lot of it. I think I've got 40 hours into it, and I haven't done that with a game in a very long time. So yeah,
probably Dragon Age was the last one
that, yeah,
I remember you talking about missing things, not doing things.
Yeah, just it's some, and staying up late and stuff, but it hasn't got to the point, people, where it's like negatively affecting my personal life. It's just my video game life. Yeah, that's why I'm trying to finish it as soon as possible. I don't want to rush through it, but on the other end, I kind of want to go back to the normal day-to-day. I'm looking forward to the trickle of DLC, though, that comes out. To be able to go back to that game every once in a while. Although those Riddler trophies, there's so many of them. And I'm going to want to find every one, Jocelyn.
I know. Send Who doesn't? Help. I love those Riddler trophies.
They're so good. And the Riddler is so fun to mess with. Mm-hmm. That's why I like doing it, just to hear him squawk. It's a lot of fun.
So the reason I mentioned that I hadn't been in playing Batman was partly because of Ashran. So 6.2 dropped in WoW, I guess, a week and a half ago. It was last Tuesday anyway. So the changes that we knew were coming to Ashran have been implemented. Ashran effing sucks. I hate it now. And I mean, I was in there every single day. I was playing hours and hours and hours. Like, I would come home from work and I would play PvP and I would just be in Ashran for like the entire night, every night. That was what I did.
That was what you did.
It was like I finally found something in WoW that was, yes, grindy, but I didn't care it was grindy. It was fun at the same time for me because it was different every time. It's like, yeah, it's grindy, but I'm always up against different people. We're always pushing for different things. And, you know, the fights are never the same. So even though it was really grindy, I just freaking loved it. And so they changed Ashran. They put a cap of 40 people on each side. And the zone is just too big to only have 80 people in it. I have gone in and have yet to PvP. Like, there's been, you know, everyone's just running around doing all the PvE content. And I'm like, this is just like, it's a big, huge new PvP or PvE zone that you happen to get flagged for PvP in. Like, which is not my favorite thing. Like, I don't really like PvE. I find it boring. So I'm really, really, really sad because it was such a good zone. So
it's capped at 80 now, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, 80. So okay. 40 Horde and 40 Alliance.
So what was it before? What's changed is it was uncapped before?
I'm not 100% sure what the cap was, but I've been in Ashran where there's been 3 Horde raids, so 120 people. So I don't know. And I mean, there's a huge, there were often, you know, queue issues, and basically, you used to be able to get a pre-made 40-man group together and then you could queue into Ashran. So having those 40 people all hitting the same Ashran at the same time was causing them queue and server issues. But I'm just like, then, you know, get more servers. You're Warcraft. Like, you're telling me that you can't fix server queue issues? Like, So anyways, they chose to fix it by changing Ashran, and it's just, nobody's doing it now. Like, it's just not fun. Like, oh, it's so frustrating. And especially when... Now, when you go into Ashran, you get put automatically into that 40-man raid. So you can't even choose who you play with, or, you know, like, basically every time I've gone in, I've been placed into these raids. Everyone's just killing rares, which is the PvE content. And as soon as you go into raid chat, everyone is fighting over what you're supposed to be doing. Whereas before, you could join a pre-made and you could be like, okay, we're specifically going to try for Nemesis quests, or we're specifically going to try to win the road, or we're specifically going to go for events, or we're going to go for rares, or, you know, whatever. There was basically 4 different types of Ashran groups, and you got to choose what objectives you wanted to do, like, with your wider group. Mm-hmm. So now it's just... all those people who want to do those 4 different things are thrown into this group together, and no one can decide on anything, which obviously it's the internet. So then it just devolves into horrible, horrible comments that I will not repeat here. So, you know, it's just, I really wish I can understand maybe, okay, you can't solve the server problems, or you won't solve the server problems, or whatever, but why take away pre-made groups? If you're going to say you can have 40 people in a raid, what does it matter if they're pre-made or not? You know, like, why can't I choose my group of 40 players and go in as a group of 40 players? Like, you're going to have all these different instances of Ashran anyway. Make me an Ashran where I can take all my friends.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like a technical fix. It seems like what you're describing was a technical fix, but turned a selling feature into something that people are, well, this isn't what we liked, and now that it's working, but it sounds like it's a ghost town, which is kind of the opposite that you want with a PvP zone. Because I remember when they first introduced world PvP sort of towers or something, where certain zones had like specific PvP options. Mm-hmm. It was a ghost town. So every time I was in Western Plaguelands, I would go cap this tower and get my token of appreciation from the Horde.
Oh,
or whatever.
I see what you're talking. Because I remember, yeah, like Hellfire Peninsula. They had the Citadel in the middle, and yeah.
And then
Zangarmarsh had the same thing, yeah.
Exactly. And sure, it was boring. It wasn't PvP. It was just being flagged and, you know, watching over your shoulder.
Watching your back,
yeah. Yeah. And this sounds like the same issue, where they've turned a really great PvP area into just calmness. It seems like an odd move. And hopefully, with all their listening that they do, they will hear the issue. Has there been a comment on the way Ashran's been changed with 6.2 yet?
Not really. Holinka hasn't done any kind of like AMA or anything since the 6.2 changes, but like every single time he tweets about PvP, he's the one who's head of Warcraft PvP. Whenever he tweets, he just gets ripped apart because like it's terrible. And I mean, like, I've tweeted at him too, and I've made similar comments. My comments are obviously, you know, shielded by politeness and winky faces, but I mean, same thing. Like, he said something about like Warlord season 2 has started, you know, good luck, have fun, everybody. And I said, oh, have fun, have you put pre-mades back in Ashran, winky face? Like, you know, so I'm jumping in there because, although I think we need to keep it polite, I really think that everyone needs to speak up, because the way Ashran is now is just terrible. And I know, like, one of the other complaints was, you know, people who would go into Ashran and who would be going up against pre-maids were saying, like, oh, it's not fair, you know, they're all in a raid, they're communicating, they're whipping our asses, whatever. Well, then why don't you join a pre-maid? The same tools are available to everybody. If you don't like going up against pre-maids because your side can't coordinate, then get out of Ashran, queue up with a pre-maid, and then go back in. Like, I don't understand why you're not making use of all the same tools that everybody else is. And you're just complaining that when you run into a random instance of Ashran, you're not having fun. It's like, well, why don't you just get in a group?
Yeah.
So
I'm hoping that they fix it, though, because I remember, like, every time we talked about Warlords of Draenor, that was your thing. Like, for me, it was the Garrison stuff. I really liked it. And I've even seen some stuff in the chat room talking about how the Garrison, they added shipyards and people weren't...
Yeah, you have ships now.
Yeah, is that a thing people are enjoying? Because that sounds like...
I have no idea. Honestly, I logged in twice to try Ashran. Both times it sucked, and I haven't logged into Warcraft since.
Oh, that's no fun.
So, I mean, it's to the point that I'm actually considering canceling my subscription because I'm just like, I'm not raiding anymore. I'm not PvPing anymore. I have zero interest in doing the... like in actually experiencing what's happening in 6.2 story-wise, because I didn't do the legendary quest. So now I'm way behind, and apparently the entire story of the expansion is done through that legendary quest. And what I didn't realize is, well, first of all, you have to do heroic dungeons, which again is PvE content, which is not my favorite thing. You have to do these three heroic dungeons, then you get the next step of the quest, and the next step of the quest is to get stuff off of raid bosses. Well, I raided for 4 freaking months. And again, like, I had fun with my raid because of, like, the people in the raid, but I don't like PvE content. So going up against the same bosses every single week and just grinding through that, it wasn't really fun for me. And especially once we started to hit our head against the same boss over and over and over again, I'm just like, this is stupid. Like, I'm not enjoying this at all. Mm. So then to know that through that legendary, and I don't even know what happens after you collect all the drops off the bosses. But again, it's like a token thing. You need 10, 15, 20, 25, whatever of these tokens saying you killed these raid bosses. And then you move on in the legendary quest. And I'm just like, so basically I have 3 heroic dungeons and a whole shit ton of raiding and between me and knowing what's happening in Draenor in the story. So I'm just like, I think I'm just done. I think I'm done.
Hmm.
Which is, for me to say I'm done with Warcraft, like...
Ooh, that's big.
That's huge.
Yeah, because like, I haven't talked a lot about WoW in the last couple months, because I think I stopped, like, maybe when... It was earlier this year, and it just kind of fell off. And that's normally my trend, right? Where I get into an expansion, enjoy it, play it a lot. I play WoW like I play my single player games. I get to a point where I'm done and I move on. Mm-hmm. It happens earlier for me because I'm not big into PvP or sort of the time sync. And not time sync is a bad thing, but just the time sync kind of stuff that takes a lot mm-hmm. of time to really thoroughly, you know, fill that progress bar. Like, you're killing all the gnomes and stuff. Like, that's a progress bar.
Dwarves.
But
we're on dwarves.
You're on dwarves now. But it's a fun progress
but
bar,
but see, that's
right?
The thing. Like, now I want to do my nemesis, and there's only 40 players in each Ashran. So the chances of, like, dwarves are really low on the population anyway. So the chances of there being multiple dwarves in the same Ashran that I'm in, slim to none, because the human racial is way OP. So everyone plays human. So I might get one dwarf, and then I'm not in a nemesis group anymore, so no one else is helping me target that specific race. So I'm just never going to finish my nemesis quest. Like, they really, really screwed up. Really screwed up. Like, you can't have quests and achievements and things like that that are just completely unobtainable. Like, completely. It took me like 7 weeks, I think, to finish pandas. And pandas is the hardest one. Nobody plays panda. But at the same time, it took me that long to finish, and I was playing every single day. So that's a problem. Like, a really, really big problem. So I don't know. I'm just... Me and Warcraft, we're having a trial separation, I think.
Well, you know what? Hopefully they sort it out. It sounds like a lot of people are upset and frustrated by the Ashram changes, and hopefully that's a thing that gets fixed. Hopefully.
I hope so, too. We will see, though. Well, we will see. So I just wanted to remind everybody that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsored Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to our topic of the week this week. We are talking about marketing promotions for video games, and I bet you guys know where this is going. Destiny and Red Bull. What the actual F?
Yeah, this isn't a new thing, but this
seems ridiculous.
It's been a quiet thing for the last few years. I can't remember the last time a company... It's almost like Bungie was like, oh, people don't hate this anymore. You know, it's been really quiet lately, so let's try it. And then it happens... And the world explodes because they're actually locking content behind.
Well, that's the
you
problem.
Drinking Red Bull.
They're locking actual content. So basically, you get a code inside a Red Bull can. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's a quest. Like, it's a quest line, from what I understand. Now, mind you, the Destiny quote unquote quests, they're not good to begin with. So I imagine the one hidden behind a Red Bull case isn't going to be that fantastic, but I haven't played it yet, so I suppose I shouldn't blanket negativity all over this fun story. But yeah, it's locked content behind Red Bull, so it's really, really weird.
Well, and that's the thing. Any other time I've ever seen some sort of promotion like that, it's been 100% cosmetic. Like, it might be, like, because I know even, you know, WoW has done it before. Not so much in the US, I don't think. But, for instance, there was, like, if you bought Coke in China, you got a mount or something like that. But, again, like, it's totally cosmetic. It has nothing to do with, you know, actually playing the game. So to put actual, like, content, DLC, whatever, behind a Red Bull paywall, like...
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's weird. And the last time I remember this sort of thing was with Arkham City in that... And the last time it actually affected me, you know how the Batman games have, like, a lot of these costumes, these skins that you can apply to your Batman character while you're playing, and it's totally cosmetic. But I remember it was Batman Beyond was locked behind a NOS energy drink paywall, and you couldn't buy it. And I think the story behind this Destiny thing is that you get it with your Red Bull now, or you wait until next year to purchase it.
Yes, exactly. And I think you also get, Azax in the chat room is mentioning, you get an experience boost as well. I think it's like 50% XP boost for an hour with each code. And I can't remember if they stack or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't remember.
But I remember with Halo 4, they had a promotion with Pepsi and Doritos. And that if you bought a bag of Doritos and applied a code, it would basically give you that XP boost. And I think that's great. You know, I love Doritos. I love Halo 4. And sometimes having a boost to XP
is neat. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, it was on the show that we described it. And I'll even bring it right back up and remind people that I had literally picked up an empty bag of Doritos off the ground, took a picture of the code on the back or whatever, and then carried that Doritos bag to the garbage, and I said, I'm going to be a good citizen and throw this bag out, but really I did it for the code. So
I 100% remember that story now.
Yeah, and but this just feels different, you know, and Bungie and Activision have sort of been very bad at giving interviews lately. there was an interview they did with Eurogamer, I think. I don't know what it is about Eurogamer, but they seem to be the place to go to find these awkward interviews where developers are just clueless about what their answers they're giving. And it was about Destiny and how there was going to be an exclusive edition of The Taken King, which included all previous content, including the base game, for a set price, plus exclusive emotes. And the guy was like, he was asking, he's like, am I literally going to have to buy this full edition to get these emotes? And the developer's like, well, wouldn't you want to buy that to get those cool emotes? And I'm not exaggerating. This was the literal interview, and they, you know, to give them some credit, they did sort of like say, "Wow, I was a real dick in that interview, and I apologize." But that their solution to it was to offer the three emotes and a custom shader for $20. $20.
Wow. And a lot of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to the whole value of things, but I think we can all agree that that pales in comparison. Like, you have the Hearthstone $10 skins, and then you have these emotes for $20, and it makes Blizzard look really good. And they're at the same company, right? So I don't know what Bungie's doing.
I don't think they are anymore. Blizzard bought themselves back from Activision, as far as I know.
I think they bought
them... Or did they buy themselves from...
Activision purchased themselves from Vivendi. They are owned by Activision. Well, they're not owned by Activision, but I guess... And neither is Bungie, for that matter. Anyways, company politics. But it is funny to see that they are sort of connected by the same publisher. And I just find this stuff really, really weird. And sort of, you know, it's not the developers... It's the marketing teams that are making these decisions, and it leaves the developers having to be like scramble to appear as human beings, right? And it's so unfortunate that there isn't that synergy, right? Where the developers aren't talking to the marketing team, but whoa, like, don't make this deal with Red Bull. Why would we do this? This is just gonna give more fire to Reddit to just, it's just a tone deaf sort of decision, right? I don't know. But
yeah. So chat room wanted us to bring up the Dying Light response to this, which I think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Basically what they're doing is they are creating DLC that they are also locking behind a promotion. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a picture of yourself drinking water. Mm-hmm. And then hashtag it and tweet it out. So there, for every, I think, 5,000 tweets about you drinking water. I'm sorry, it's just so funny.
It's really good. And
it is really good.
We mentioned it's locked behind a promotion. The content is locked by the promotion, but once it's unlocked for everybody.
Yeah.
You don't, now it's not like they're sending.
Oh, so I don't have to tweet like 25,000 times?
No, you can just watch people tweet themselves drinking glasses of water. And then by purchasing Dying Light, you'll have access to this free DLC probably right through the Steam store.
Yeah. And so I think the first level, I think, is an XP boost. And then after that, it's all DLC pieces. So
yeah, probably like weapons and stuff. But still, it's just really interesting to see these developers kind of like, hey, you know, we can, and essentially they're doing the same thing. They're not getting any money from water, quote unquote, you know, like the company behind water, like the planet Earth hasn't been like, you know, we'd like to partner with your game and offer you $10 million to promote water. It's not how it works. So technically Bungie and Activision are getting some sort of monetary value out of this promotion. But in the end, I think for companies, like when you look at the developers behind The Witcher, and then you look at the company like Warner Brothers behind Batman Arkham Knight, and compare those two game releases, one of those companies appears to be, you know, for the fans, by the fans, very, very appreciated. And the other just seems cold and calculated, right? And I think it's the same thing here, where Techland with Dying Light appears to be very human, and Bungie and Activision are just like, this is robot. There's nothing you can do to kind of appreciate what they're doing. Like, it's Red Bull, right? Like, Red Bull's great, but I don't know. It just seems so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah, it was, I think, such a bad decision.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes if video game companies, and it's not the video game company, it's the marketing team. Like, I wonder I wonder what's going through their head. You know, if they just see the dollars, or do they think like, oh, you know, it's been, and like I said, it's been so long since we've seen anything this bad. And I'm glad that everybody's sort of jumping on it in a positive way. Like, the people who are being super negative, I don't think that fixes anything, but like Dying Light doing that promotion to kind of bring awareness to it is really cool. I think that's a cool move.
I agree. So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can do so by heading over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com and grab yourself a Gamers in t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. That brings us to the listener feedback section, and we are a little bit short today. So I think, Ryan, if you're good to stick around for another 10 or 15 minutes, we can take some questions from the chat room.
Sure.
So chat room, anything you want us to talk about, start throwing things in there. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank our patron of the week, who is Devin R. So thank you very much for supporting the Gamers Inn. If you want to be just like Devin, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersinn. And we also wanted to remind everyone that we have game night tomorrow night, which is at 8 p.m. Eastern. Ryan and I are very excited. We don't actually know what we're playing yet. So if you would like to tell us what to play, go to patreon.com/thegamersinn, become a patron, and have your voice heard. So chat room is still not giving us any questions. They're just talking to each other but Dying Light. So
yeah. Morley was asking how the multiplayer is for Dying Light, and
I haven't played Dying Light.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a zombie game, isn't it?
It's a zombie game. It's a lot of fun. It's very like Far Cry open world sort of run around, and the multiplayer is just like that, like the single player game with more people in the same world. So, and it's up to four players. And James, I remember there was a video I did where myself, James, Lindsay, and Lou all played in the same game, and it's just a romp. You just run around, you're killing zombies, lots of drop kicking. It's so good. It's so much fun.
Jim says, since it's a holiday, I should have pulled a 6-0 and started pushing towards Legend as soon as the season reset. I actually did. I played some games last night after the reset. I'm up to, oh dude, I was up to like 6. I didn't have to work today.
That's true. I guess I didn't either. I was up till 2. So that's like my 6 a.m., I suppose, in
exactly. In sort of see, there you go. That. See, I'm always up until 2. So the fact that you normally go to bed at 10... See, the math checks out.
Perfect.
I did play some last night, and then I pretty much woke up and came here to do TGI. So, but I am going to push. I'm up to 17, I think. So yeah, it's going to be a good month. Evo Revel. I probably am totally butchering that. Wants to know if it is web spinner, two words, or web spinner, all one word. I think it's web spinner, all one word.
Yeah, and that's the Hearthstone battle, the brawl.
That's the brawl this week. Yeah, the tavern brawl. So I'm really, really excited. Midnight Bomber wants to know how I got Team 5 to give me all web spinners this week. This didn't come from me. It will, when it's all unstable portals, that'll be totally for me. But okay. I'm really excited about web spinners. And I think we're going to see the unstable portal thing, mostly because it seems like what they're doing is playing with a lot of stuff that's already built into the game, a lot of the stuff that is content that was made for the adventures. So we had the all web spinner hunter challenge in Naxxramas, and there's an all mage unstable portal challenge in Blackrock, I guess? No. Hmm. Yeah. No.
I don't know.
I can't remember now. Anyways, there is an all unstable portal challenge. So I think we will see that sometime soon. But they seem to be using a lot of the content that they created for the adventures in the Tavern Brawl. So
yeah.
I'm sure we'll see it.
That's a cool way to repurpose it and allow people to play it for free because that stuff is unlocked or locked behind. I haven't purchased it, but is this one a random deck this week?
Well, it's all web spinners, so.
Oh, so I don't have to build a deck then?
No, you don't have to build a deck. You just have to pick which hero you want to play, so no matter what class you pick. Hmm. So you can be Hunter if you want to be, but you don't have to be. So you're essentially picking your hero power and then getting a deck full of web spinners.
Huh. That's gonna be weird. I don't know. Can anybody? I don't know. Okay, I don't know what web spinners are, so I'll give it a shot.
Oh, web spinners are 1/1 creatures, and mm-hmm. when they die, they spawn a random beast in your hand. Oh. So basically, by having all of these 1/1s, you're just running them into each other, and then everyone essentially gets a random beast deck out of that.
Okay, that so That sounds interesting. I'll have to check
so
that out.
So fun. I love random. I just love random. The random makes Hearthstone fun for me.
I'm just not good at building decks, so I'm totally... I was playing Hand of Fate.
There you go. It's already done for you.
Yeah, exactly. I was playing Hand of Fate, and I felt bad the first couple times where it's like, hit a button to update your deck. And I feel bad because, like, well, like that, I'm missing like half the game with the deck building. And then I go into the deck building. And I was like, this is boring. So I'm just going to play. And it's fine. It doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
But I know some people like to get in there, the nitty gritty. So yeah, I'm all for random decks. Give me random decks.
Iagavos in the chat room wants to know what game we're most excited for now that Batman has dropped. I don't know what I'm most excited for. I'm trying to remember what all is coming this year.
The Witcher 3. That's what I'm excited for. Excited to get back to that.
Have that.
But I'm excited to get back to it, you know, where you go and complete a game that is 200 hours. I'm only about 30 hours in, so. But yeah, no, well, not being an ass, is there anything else coming out this summer that we, like, for me, the only thing that pops into my head is Super Mario Maker in September.
Mm. So, yeah, and that will be cool. That's not something I'll play because, you know, Nintendo. But
Life is Strange. There we go. That's what I'm looking forward to. The remaining episodes of Life is Strange.
Well, I'm looking forward to... There's Assassin's Creed. I always love Assassin's Creed.
That's still like October, though.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, Iagavos is saying The Division, Mad Max, Battlefront.
Oh, we are, actually. Okay, we're talking like... Well, okay. Our next big, huge looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would probably be Mario Maker. It sounds like
that game sounds cool. I'm looking forward to finding out what you think about that one. I don't really know. I'm not really super stoked about anything right now, which is terrible.
Well, there aren't those big there aren't those big, huge AAA titles that
for that me really actually. Wow you. It's probably Zelda.
Yeah, Zelda.
Yeah.
The fact that we haven't seen any Zelda since December is not scary, but sort of frustrating.
No, it's kind of scary. Yeah, it's scary. Which is why I guess I'm not excited. Like, I am excited, but I'm not excited. I want the next Zelda. I want to play the crap out of it. But the fact that we haven't seen anything in a while. Oh, No Man's Sky. That's another one. Yeah.
I want to know what that is before I get too excited. Because it looks like one of those explorative games. And those things are great on pen and paper when you're telling people about this epic story that happened in the game. But when you actually go to play them, it's like, it's kind of boring for me. So if No Man's Sky proves to be an exciting game, I'll be excited for it. Right now, it's just a lot. It feels like a lot of buzzwords for that one.
I think chat room's correcting me. Maybe the deck isn't all made up of web spinners. I do remember seeing Savitz when he was playing. He had a multi-shot, so there must be a couple of hunter spells mixed in there because, multi-shot otherwise wouldn't have been in the deck. There's no way to get that off of a web spinner. So there must be some other. There's probably a kill command or two in there. So. I'm excited. So I think that'll probably pretty much do it for us today. So if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google Plus. If you'd like to email the show, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.